Text for this evening is from the Old Testament lesson that was read just previously, and here in 1 Samuel. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, "I am grieved that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions." Samuel was troubled, and he cried out to the Lord all that night. So far, God's word for our consideration this evening. As we continue our journey in Lent, we hear about different kings of Israel and Judah. We hear about their shortcomings. We hear about their failings. We hear about how they are different from the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So I want you to make note of that and focus on it, that each king, each Wednesday, has shortfalls. But we can see in the mirror the kings, and it's flashing back at us. So we are like those kings. So I want you to think about this. I want you to think about your life and the life that you live. And I want you to think about the headlines, that screen. Another war. Our young people are being dragged back into a war that we don't want. Or another headline could be that women are being forced into labor. Women are being struck down by domestic abuse. Or this one, tax the rich. Let them pay what they really owe so that others would not be unjustly burdened by the tax. Or still another, you think that he is a great leader? Really? He's taking us down the road of destruction. Now, if you really thought about this, you'd say these headlines describe our world today, wouldn't you? But they don't necessarily look at us today, because they are about the people of Israel. Just before 1 Samuel, there's Judges. And what happened in Israel, that the people turned away from God. So God would see that they needed the law, and they needed to turn from that evil way. So he would send a judge. And so the judge would come, and he would rule, and he would start turning the people back to God and on the right path. And then God would say, "No, that's pretty good. They're doing their job. We'll let the judge leave." And so the people would revert back to what they were. And another judge would come. And another judge would come. And another judge would come. And the people started whining to God, "We don't want any more judges. We want a king. We want a king just like our neighbors, the Amalekites, or the Hittites, or whatever tribe was there. They wanted a king. They kept whining and whining and whining to God." You remember when Moses led the people of Israel out and they didn't have water, so he hit the rock at Meribah with his staff and out flowed water from the rock. And because of that sin of not listening to God, Moses could not see the promised land. Or he could not live in the promised land. See, the people keep doing it over and over and over again. They keep sinning. They keep leaving God. They wanted a king. So, God gave them a king. God gave them Saul. And God told Saul to do some things for him. And one of the things he told Saul to do was, "I want you to go over and beat up the Amalekites. Okay? I want you to destroy them. I don't want anything left of their tribe, their property. Everything needs to be destroyed." But you see, Saul was self-centered. And Saul says, yeah, I'm going to go over and beat up the Amalekites, and I'm gonna lay waste their property and everything. He went over there, but he didn't lay waste the property. He started taking things for himself. He started taking the fatted calf. He started taking the oxen. He started taking the gold, the silver, and he wanted it all for himself because he was being self-centered. Now, does that sound like somebody else we know? I dare think us. We are self-centered at times. We want our own way at times. We want to do things in a certain way. It's been known that pastors have said, well, it's going to be this way or the highway. It doesn't get pastors anywhere, does it? Other people have said that too. So we start becoming like Saul. We want things our own way. And so God decided that he was going to send Samuel to Saul. And so Samuel comes to Saul and he said, just like Nathan said to David, you are the man. Samuel said to Saul, listen, God does not want you to be king anymore. He's going to take you off your throne. And Saul says, wait a minute, what did I do? What did I do? Samuel, what did God tell you to do? Well, he told me to go over to the Amalekites and beat them up. And Samuel says, yes, the Lord said that, but he said, do not take anything. And Saul tried to be contrite and said, well, I didn't take anything. And all of a sudden, Samuel hears the noise of the animals that Saul took for himself. And he says, listen, you are now no longer king. God's not going to run away from you. He loves you. But he's taking your kingdom away from you because you did not listen to him. So Saul was falling from grace. But yet, even in that time of rebellion and disobedience and falling away from God, God did not turn away from Saul. He kept Saul as his child. And I want you to tell you, too, is that we fall in sin. Paul says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all said bad things. We've all been in disobedience. We all have turned away from God at some time or another. We've doubted. We've doubted his presence. We've doubted his strength. We've doubted his forgiving word. So we have turned away from him. But he has not turned away from us. He has given Jesus as a sacrifice of our sins. He has given the Lord Jesus Christ to be sin for us. As Paul said in 1 and 2 Corinthians, he made him who knew not sin to be sin on our behalf. So Jesus took upon his shoulders our sin. He is a completely different king than Saul. Saul was a physical king. Saul was a king that sinned in thought, word, and deed. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who has come back to us with grace and mercy, a grace that overflows from God. See, the word grace means God's riches at Christ's expense. So God's word of grace comes to us through his written word and the word made flesh, Jesus Christ, to tell us that he loves us even when we commit sins, even when we disobey, even when we rebel, even when we run away from His word, He keeps turning back to us. That grace that God gives to us empowers us to live a new life. It empowers us to be His servant. It empowers us to help others to see a forgiving God. He uses each and every one of us in different circumstances. There's many times in our lives we wonder about things that happen. And we wonder what God has in store for us. And how He turns us. How He continually turns us back to Him. I remember when I got the call to Mapleton, Iowa. We had a cabin, and we had this cabin in Outing, Minnesota. And I remember when Karen and I went down there and spent a couple days, and I spent a couple days in prayer, wondering what God had in store for me. And I came back up from the lake. It was frozen. I was sitting on the dock with my feet touching the frozen ice, frozen water, and continually praying that God would use me. I didn't know what He had in store for me. And I came up from there and I said to Karen, I said, well, if nothing changes by tomorrow morning, we're going to go. And she looked at me and she said, really? I said, yeah, if nothing changes between now and tomorrow morning, we're going to go. In the morning, she says, has anything changed? I said, no. God is sending us on a new adventure. He uses you and I, even though we're sinful creatures, even though we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, He uses us where we are and turns us into His instruments. I didn't know what God had in store for me in Mapleton, but I knew by His grace He was going to use me as His servant. Saul fell. He fell from grace. He fell out of being a king. But God didn't release him from his childhood. We too fall. But God continues to use us through His grace so that others may know who He is. Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In Christ's holy name. Amen.